This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Jabari Smith, he'll shoot it, no good, and the rebound to Looney, to Buddy Hield. He's got 3 seconds, he's got two, from half court, pulls up for a three, it's good! Buddy Hield knocks one in from midcourt at the buzzer!
Buddy gets paid a lot of money to play at a high level. Buddy was Buddy tonight. Good for you, Buddy.
Jimmy Butler, Tim Roy on the call, 95-7 a game. The back and forth between Jimmy Butler and Buddy Hield at the podium last night, hilarious. They've got a great rapport together. And I don't think they're excluding Buddy Hield from any of the team activities anymore. Buddy Hield is definitely a part of this team after 33 points. He stole the show. 9 made.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Threes, he goes 9 of 11, the seventh player in NBA history to hit at least seven threes in a game seven. What a show Buddy Hield put on. Playoff career high, 33 points. That was his first ever game number seven as well. So Buddy Hield, and how about this one? This is so crazy. Buddy Hield became the first player in NBA history to go scoreless in one game and then score at least 33 in the next game in a single postseason.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Let me read that again.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield became the first player in NBA playoff history to go scoreless in one game and then score at least 33 in the next game in a single postseason. The previous high following a scoreless game, 31 points by Tim Perry of the Phoenix Suns in 1992, and Eddie Johnson, our boy Eddie, with the Rockets back in 1997 when he scored 31 after going scoreless in a game.
That's incredible. I mean, and it's not like he was hurt, like, you know, that's just, wow.
Again.
That is incredible.
Buddy Hield, not only does he hit the seven threes, became the first player in NBA history, in playoff history, to go scoreless in one game and score at least 33 in the next.
It's just been an unbelievable ride. Like, again, the only other things that I can think of, it would be like Juwan Jennings being your Super Bowl MVP, right? Why, you know what I mean?
I forgot to do something. Top of the hour. I forgot to do something. Can we reset and play the intro? Just reset and play the intro.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Cody Ross, being the hero.
Cody Ross game.
That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of a Cody Ross game.
We're going to play the intro again because I forgot to do something. We're in no hurry. We got 2 hours left, Shasky.
I knew it was going to be a good day because after the first communion, after I got closer to God, after the first communion, then we had Filipino food. I had lumpia. I had the chicken with the rice. It was delicious. I knew we were going somewhere.
We play the intro. Go ahead. I'm a little rusty, Shasky. I forgot about that. Top of the 8 o'clock hour. Good morning to all the overnight dancers, the firefighters, the cops, the bums out of Union Square. Shout out to 6th Street. Getting a little cleaner, but still not really that clean. Shout out to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. The Warriors win game 7. They advance to the West semifinals. It was only right that I do that, right, Shasky?
No, it was incredible. You know, the overnight dancers needed their shout out.
By the way, Betty Yu, KTVU, the legend Betty Yu.
Yeah.
Did you see the story she put out last week? I know we're going to get right back to game 7.
I did not see the Betty Yu story last week.
Because the buffet opened back up at the Gold Club, and line was so long. There were so many Asian women in line trying to get that $5 fried chicken at the Gold Club. Betty Yu did a great story. That's great reporting by Betty Yu of KTVU. And I'm not going to lie, she gave me the follow on Twitter. I felt like I was somebody after that one. You know, when you get the Roz with the eyes and the Betty Yu's, that's a different stratosphere, Shasky.
I did feel like I made it when Roz with the eye hit that follow button on me.
You're not going to lie. Right? There's just certain people you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, they're like, Mr. NBC follows me now.
The strut gets better and better.
Best.
Unbelievable.
God, what a great win.
Buddy Hield, Shasky.
I can't believe it. Like, I was going was earlier, like, you know, when Cody Ross did what he did, you could have named, you know, hey, Juan Uribe's going to have a game. Hey, Renteria's going to have a game. You know, he's been a playoff performer. Hey, you know, Aubrey Huff would have been great that year. Or Buster Posey would have. No, when Cody Ross is the one that steps up and knocks off Roy Halladay the way that he did, you remember it forever. Now, that was not in a game 7, right? That was obviously early in the series.
Game 1.
Yes. And then he was also had a double in game 2 or game 3 or whatever. It was unbelievable. But for Buddy Hield to do that in a game 7, it's going to live. If they can even get to just the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, forever.
It is going to live forever.
Forever.
I mean, the Baron Davis dunk is something we think about over and over and over again.
I thought you were going to bring up Travis Ishikawa.
That's a great opportunity. That's a great one, you know. But
Mike Morris hitting the home run, basically the only thing he did that year, and he goes psycho in that game.
Was that game 6?
That was game 6 or game 7, Mike Morris? What game was
game
that?
Game 7.
That was game seven. There
you go. He hit the home run to pinch hit, and he goes psycho. He almost gave himself a concussion.
That was to tie the game, correct?
Yep.
Yes. All those things met, but those were to get to the World Series. So it's a little different, right? You know, and God, it's just this that game from him was special. And I think what ended up happening, Jimmy and Steph realized at the end of that third quarter, all right, now it's superstar time. And why you got Jimmy Butler was for that game yesterday. And even though he was a little reluctant for that entire third quarter, 3 minutes to go, 63-60, from then on, 12 points for Steph, 9 points for Butler, night-night.
Night-night.
To the Houston Rockets.
I mean, you're so right. We're going to it's just unbelievable how much Buddy Hield just out of nowhere showed up. I think my snare went out in my headphones. My snare went out.
After an oh baby like that, you know, the radio gods were like, you messed up the first time.
Yeah. Chill out, homie. This is only
you've
a one-day thing.
You've done enough Betty U talk this morning. You should be talking about Buddy Hield.
You know you love that pool.
That was incredible. Well, I think you hurt your quad pulling down that name.
Let's go to the lines, man. Oh, by the way, I can hear you guys. Lab. Oh, that's what it is. I can hear you guys. Something's up with your board. That's what it is. There we go. I knew something was wrong. There we go, Rizzo. Turn yourself off.
Hey, Rizzo, pasta. There. Figure it out.
Let's go, Rizzo. Got the reardon hat on. We know you guys are, you know, a little aloof at times. But Steve Kerr.
Hey, Reardon got a huge win against Bellamy.
They did get a win. Yeah. Shout out to
back off,
shout
boy.
Out to the Sergeants. Yeah. Shout out to the Sergeants,
I'm very
Rizzo.
Happy for them.
Shout out to the Sergeants. And Bill Lasky, of course. Listen, Steve Kerr, because as much as we ridicule Buddy Hield in this market, I see so many times, why is he playing Buddy? Stop playing Buddy. Buddy's going to have his moments. He's going to have 15 one game. Next game, may have three. That's just the Buddy Hield experience. But Steve Kerr, for years, so many people say, well, anybody can coach this team. What adjustments does Steve Kerr make? I think about Alex in Atlanta. The coach doesn't make adjustments. The coach this, the coach that. Kamen Antioch still is in my dome talking about fire Steve Kerr. Well, how do you feel about him now? How do you feel about Steve Kerr now? Well,
I thought that situationally in the first quarter, I could feel possession to possession was super important. Could you feel it?
Absolutely.
And I thought when it was 13-17, Amen hit a couple of shots in a row. He was like, bang, he hits the timeout. And I was like, he's on it. He made a substitution. They came out. I felt like he coached this game possession to possession.
Oh my God.
Which was so refreshing. I truly believe the game 7 2016 has been etched in his head for his entire life. And when things happen to you in that, he put Varejao out there. Nope. He knows it.
He
put Varejao out there for a couple of possessions too long, and it ended up biting them in the butt.
No, it did. And his third quarter was excellent because you knew the Rockets would happen. They would have a run in that game to get back into it.
Yep.
After being down 12 at the half, it's 56-47. Steve Kerr says, you know what? It's single digits. Calm things down.
Mm-hmm.
Rockets make another little mini run. And next thing you know, it's 63-60. And the Toyota Center is rocking.
Yeah.
And the Warriors looked rattled. And Steve Kerr says, timeout. Very Pop-like. Greg Popovich would do this all the time. Team scores a quick four. You know what? Let's shut this down.
Yep.
I don't like it. I don't like where this is going.
He would do it specifically against Steph when Steph would cook and hit a couple shots.
And he'd shut it down. Two threes, that's it.
I thought that Kerr failed to do that. Go back to that Dallas game when Kyrie was cooking.
Oh, yeah.
And Kyrie had like four straight possessions.
Yep.
I was like, dude, after two or three, hit the timeout.
Before the All-Star break,
yes.
He had the 42 points.
It was a bad loss.
It was a terrible loss. But then they did bounce back and beat the Rockets the next day before the All-Star break. The Jimmy was like 105-98 or whatnot. So Steve Kerr calling those timeouts in the third quarter. And then he settles things down. Then Jimmy Butler hits the grenade three. And then Draymond Green drives to the rack, gets a layup. Then the next possession, this is what I thought was very important. Draymond Green in the middle of that zone. We've been telling Draymond, you know, everybody's been screaming from the high heavens. Get in the triple threat position. Attack in that zone. Attack. The Rockets are playing the pass. They're playing Draymond Green for the pass. Getting a lot of deflections within the half court. He takes a little floater right there in the paint. Nails it. Next thing you know, the Warriors, despite the Rockets having their best quarter of the game, the Rockets still go in the fourth quarter down eight. And then Steph Curry in the fourth quarter, five straight points as he milks every last second of Steph as he nearly plays 46 minutes. Steve Kerr deserves a lot of respect for the way he coached that game last night and the way he managed that series. Look, he knew Moody didn't have it. 10 minutes for Moody. Looney, we're going to get you for 11 minutes.
I thought Looney was good in this
game. He was good in his 11 minutes, and he's an X factor moving forward.
Really good in this game.
No doubt. I think Looney was excellent.
But Moody, the poor guy, just didn't have it.
He didn't have it. Quinn Post, 3 minutes, 28 seconds. He knew when to pull the lever off all these guys. JK, I'm going to trot it out a little bit. There's no GPT, GP2, I should say. You know what? Kuminga, 7 minutes, 21 seconds. That's that. And he yanked him out there to 63 when it was 63-60. So Steve Kerr did an excellent job, and now he improves to 8-0 in the first round.
I thought that the Rockets got sloppy and very predictable in the half court toward the end there. Tari Eason having a huge turnover off of his knee. He just was totally rattled, and he hit a big three in this game.
He did.
And then Şengün, time and time again, was traveling before he'd even get the ball. Feeling for contact that wasn't there. How many times did the Warriors pull the chair out from underneath him where he was expecting contact and then he missed like a little like push shot? He missed two free throws on a hard foul. That was a big sequence as well. And then Steph Curry stripping him at one point as a help defender. They just did a great job on Şengün overall. I thought he was in his own head.
No, he was. He was. 21 points on 23 shots for Alperen Şengün. And again, this is their first playoff series, but the Warriors did a great job of getting him off his spots. He had to settle for baseline fadeaways yesterday, which you hadn't really seen in this series, in the first six games of this series between the Warriors and the Rockets.
I want to go back just real quick. At the beginning of this dynasty, there was a, I call coming of age combination of series. One was the Spurs that they lost, but the one before that was against the Denver Nuggets, George Karl. And that was kind of like the coming out party for Steph, for Clay, a young Harrison Barnes. It felt like a coming of age series for those young players. Their first taste of it. Now, they ended up winning that series, and they knocked off the Nuggets, and then eventually, obviously, got Andre Iguodala. I felt the same way about Amen Thompson coming out of this series. That was a coming-of-age series for the young man. And in Game 7, where a lot of guys were afraid of the moment, he knew exactly what a good shot was for him. And I can't think higher of a young player in the league.
6-6 from the free throw line. 24 points, 9 rebounds. I mean, this kid is a combination defensively of Kawhi Leonard and Scottie Pippen. He moves his feet so well. He gets his arms out. He rips people. He rips Steph in half court a couple times in this series.
Just picked his pocket.
Steph had the most struggles against Amen Thompson. And Bullio was always telling me when he was at Steph's camp, the Thompson twins were there. And he was there. And Pickney were there. And Bully were there at the Steph camp with the Thompson twins. And they go, those two dudes defensively was already ahead of the curve. Defensively, they were playing like 5-year veterans. So if I'm the Houston Rockets, this is a very critical offseason because Draymond mentioned it last night. You could be on the up and up until you're not. Just ask the Memphis Grizzlies. You build around Amen Thompson. You have a team option on Fred VanVleet. Jalen Green, I think they're going to move off of Jalen Green.
I think it's sayonara.
They may move off of Jabari Smith Jr. with the way they utilize him in this series.
I'll take Jabari Smith.
Steven Adams is a free agent.
I'll take him.
Personally,
I want Steven Adams for the rest of his career in a Warrior uniform.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I think he loved the Bay Area.
I think Kerr would love
the Bay Area. Yeah, no doubt. He'd be, oh my
He's
God,
everything
Steven Adams.
We haven't had. Physical beast, low down below, a funneler on defense, great passer, knows his game.
No doubt.
I would love.
I would too.
Steven Adams.
I would too. But I would tell, like we said about Sabonis a couple years ago, it's funny. Everybody in Sacramento now wants to sell on Domantas Sabonis. We were on that a couple years ago with the Warriors asking them in the first round. It feels like the Rockets could sell high on Şengün and get something a lot better. And when I say a lot better, there's a megastar in Milwaukee that could be available, and there's a couple stars in Phoenix that could be available in Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. The Rockets are in a great position. They have the assets, the draft picks. They have money in the bank. And Houston's always been a destination for NBA free agents. They love living in Houston, Texas, for a lot of reasons. Houston should build around Amen Thompson and see what the best fit is around Amen Thompson moving forward. They're close, but this offseason is critical for the Rockets.
I totally agree. The area that I would just pause if I was them, you want to make sure you deal the right young player.
Exactly.
I think dealing the wrong young player is, I mean, it could set you back even farther. As we saw with the Kings selling De'Aaron Fox and some of these other teams that you've seen over the years, just trade the wrong young player. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, for example.
The Clippers.
Right? Yeah, for the Clippers. So I'm with you. I just, man, if I'm any team that's the guy you want is Amen Thompson.
Yeah.
No, but I don't see how you get rid of him.
No, they're not getting rid of him. He's a future superstar.
I know.
The way he defends, a 3-D guy, and once he gets his mid-range jumper right, God, it's only in his second year.
Well, I think around the rim, he's in that like dunker spot.
Yep.
He actually has a nice little turnaround. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to get better and better and better.
Yep. They got to figure out the shooting. They got to figure out Jalen Green, what they're going to do with him moving forward, because I think they're down on him big time. And the way they utilize Jabari Smith Jr., they didn't play him much. 12 minutes and 8 seconds. And the murmurs around the Rockets organization is they believe he's a little soft. Ibe Udoka's not a big fan.
Well,
Jabari
not
Smith
every guy can be out there like a punishing. Like Fred VanVleet plays right. A certain way. Dylan Brooks plays a certain way. Steven Adams plays a certain way. You do need some like versatility right. In player profiles in terms of how they play. And yep. I think that Jabari Smith was the guy that didn't play enough. I think they're going to look back and kick themselves for not playing him more, because he is a stretch shooter. He's a three-level scorer. And I think that he's a mismatch problem for the Warriors.
I'm with you there. I like Jabari Smith Jr. a lot. Let's go to let's get to Greg at San Ramon. He's been on hold the longest here. Greg at San Ramon, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Good.
You know, Buddy's been up and down all year. So this was his timing was perfect to be on last night. He's been frustrating all year, I got to admit, but last night he was just phenomenal. But really, they won it on defense, and you can't say enough about Draymond. I mean, I'm sure everybody's tired of hearing about it, but if you rewatch that game, Draymond was not only single covering Şengün, he was then bouncing off him and getting the rebound. He was boxing out Adams. He was everybody that would drive to the rim. He would challenge. It was one of the best performances defensively I've seen in a while. And you know, it's funny because before the Warrior game, I was watching Cleveland and Mobley as the defensive player of the year, and then you watch Draymond after that. It's not even comparable. And one more thing I want to say is, Looney put in some really big minutes, and I don't think people are, you know, noticing that enough.
You're right.
And the last thing I'll say, I agree with you on Jabari Smith. I thought Jabari Smith was killing the Warriors, but for some reason he wasn't playing. So thank God he wasn't.
Would you agree with me on this? Like, and Mobley's a very talented young player, but young's the key word. And I think Draymond has alluded to this. Kerr's talked about it. Curry. There's a difference between being able to game plan for the same opponent 7 games in a row. You understand all of their tendencies, their nuances, every set that they're going to run. Why do you think it looks so exhausted at the end of that fourth quarter? Not only was everyone fatigued, like physically, they knew exactly what they wanted to run. Yep. Şengün kept going to the spin moves. Back you down, spin move. Or he'd face you up and shoot that little 1-foot fadeaway. It wasn't as effective in game 7.
You can't dribble 7 times in the paint and expect to be successful in today's NBA.
No.
Over and over and over again.
With no shooters right. around
Şengün
you.
Şengün was really good with these 1-2-3 dribbles.
Yes.
It didn't go on up.
Yes.
Like, backing down.
But Draymond
solo.
Figured out his tendencies.
So
and the other part is I thought that the Warriors figured out when they could double and when not to double. Yep. And not leaving Fred VanVleet wide open on the kickout.
That to me was a key. Fred VanVleet in the previous 3 games was 18-27 from 3. He could not miss.
If I never see him again, I'll be happy.
And he was talking that talk. But then in this game, game 7, the Warriors did a good job of doubling him, blitzing him at the right time. And through midway through the fourth quarter, he was took off 4 3-point attempts. So they didn't give him the opportunity to get clean 3-point looks yesterday. And that was a great game play by Steve Kerr, Jerry Stackhouse, and Terry Stotts there on that bench. By the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube. Over 1,400 people watching on YouTube right now. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate on the loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Buck Studios. Laughing Buck, what is up, Sam? They're righteously brewed right here in San Francisco. Do not forget about the Boxer Gerson Work Injury Attorney's text line. I'll let you read off an Ash Ask if you want. Let's go to Oreo Cookie.
What's up, Oreo?
Oreo Cookie, what is happening?
Hola, amigo. Feliz Cinco de Mayo, baby.
Tequila, up, tequila. Let's get some tacos and tequila, baby.
For those that haven't, that want to check out a movie today, today is the day to check out Blood In, Blood Out.
Oh my
that's
God.
The one to do it, baby.
Oh my
hey,
God.
Hey, that's our Godfather and Goodfellas mixed into one. So if you want to watch something good, Blood In, Blood Out, baby. It's But I was calling because I want to give Kerr props, man, give him his flowers. I come on here and talk mess about him. But when he does things right, man, he presses all the right buttons, whether it's on defense to go into the zone defense. Houston had no shot, man. They kept shooting. They kept missing. We was doing good there. He had answers for their zone defense. And so I want to give props to Kerr, man. I also want to tell Kerr that when we do have everybody healthy and Kuminga gets a few minutes, we are 2-0. Somebody let him know that. We are 2-0 when he plays. So I do feel good about this round coming up. And this is Oreo Cookie. And I don't like diet soda. I never owned a Toyota. Our defense is coming into Minnesota. Dubs and six, baby.
I was wondering where that was going.
Blood in, blood out has some of the most interesting prison scenes of all time.
I'm not even going to get into it. It's too early for that. We got kids in the car right now. Kids, blood in, blood out. I don't know what Oreo Cookie's talking about. Wink, 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 wink. It's a gangster movie. I don't know if I can handle a blood in, blood out movie right now.
I believe there was some of the prison scenes were in Quentin.
Yeah, it's possible.
Blood in, blood out is an all-timer. If you say blood in, blood out, I say colors.
Oh, my
colors.
God. Oh, my God.
But I see doing the soundtrack.
Felt like everybody died in colors.
Oh, dude, it was great. It was unbelievable. Sean Penn.
Oh,
such
man.
A classic.
It is a classic. Colors. Ice-T with that soundtrack.
It is so good.
Colors.
Come on. You know you liked it.
Oh, man. Darren in Richmond, before we go to break.
What's up?
Oh, I see somebody on the line here. Oh, I can't wait to hear their call. Actually, not really. Darren in Richmond, what's happening?
Bonte, what's up, man? I called it, bro. I don't know if you remember. I called before the Houston series started. I said Warriors in seven.
Well, I wouldn't know that because I wasn't around.
No, you, bro. I talked to you. I promise, and I gave a few key points on why they didn't win.
You talked to me at
anyway.
Chasing or something, or on the line, or maybe I was here. Man, nah. I don't know.
Yeah, I was on the line with you, but okay. Man, anyway, it's all good. So, bro. This series is going to be real tough, right? And so as far as the backcourt is concerned, we're not going to see the same level of physicality we saw in Houston against Minnesota. However, the bigs for Minnesota is going to give us problems, right? Julius Randle with Naz Reid, 6'9". Rudy Gobert, 7'1". Joe Ingles, he's a shooting guard. He's 6'8". Jaden Daniels, 6'9". So I think our point guards, they're going to shine this series, but Draymond Green is going to be the key to this series. Draymond Green can play and play great and be effective without all the antics. I'm a huge Draymond Green fan, and he got a flagrant foul in game 6. He got a technical foul in game 7, and he tuned it down and was still effective. He sets the tone for our team, for our defense, and for our bigs. We need Post to give us solid minutes. We need Looney to give us solid minutes, as he always does, and we really just have to guard the bigs. And unlike Sengun and Adams, Julius Randle has an outside game. Naz Reid has an outside game, so we gotta watch that, man. It's gonna be another close one, and I say Warriors in 6 or 7 for sure.
There it is. Gobert and Draymond Green shared the court in a high level game.
Oh, it's gonna be amazing! I can't wait.
I'm like now getting fired up. I'm like slowly turning the page from this Houston series, and now he's got me rolling here.
Every time Gobert comes on the television and my mom's over the house, there's the guy that Draymond choked and dragged across the court. It's like you and your brother fighting in the 90s.
I don't want to relive that, but there's a couple instances that nobody talks about enough.
When he tucks his chin for Karl-Anthony Towns,
number one.
I can hear Joe Rogan. What a great tuck of the chin.
Tucked his chin.
He kept himself from getting slapped.
And then how about Steve Kerr saying, let him go. Let him go.
Like let him go. In the kitchen with me and my brother fighting.
That happened a minute and a half into the game. Oh, my gosh. And then Rudy Gobert elbowing LeBron James.
Clay having a ripped jersey.
Oh, my gosh. And then you get Randle.
Hey. Gobert had 30 and 20. I mean, we got to watch out for him.
27-24 against the Lakers in that closeout game. Oh, man, this is going to be spicy. Oh, and then you get A-Rod on the sideline. Joe Lakem and then you got A-Rod. I kind of, you know what? I'm kind of a sucker for A-Rod
now.
I woke up one morning and I went down to A-Rod rabbit hole. I was like, wow, this guy's a shrewd businessman.
Yeah, he is.
Then he's taking photos with his wife's new husband. Uh-huh. They're all like a family affair. Uh-huh. That's just so strange.
She's a fitness model.
Oh, my God. To A-Rock, dude. He's at the practices of the T-Wolves.
Look, he's charming. Admit it. He's something else, man. I love A-Rod.
He's something else. Why do we love these? I'm not even going to go there. More of your phone calls. All right, Verducci. Ooh, Samita. Wow. Slept Rock. Oh, Slept Rock's in South Dakota. Can't wait to get to him. We got Jeff in San Jose. And then we got Shasky's favorite, the guy down in Palo Alto.
Let's go.
He shall rename nameless here on the Morning Rose. That's coming up, brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
Dub Nation, it's Quinton Post. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Love me some Quinton Post.
Man, I'm B-U-D-D-Y. It's the remix, the
Buddy Hield game. Can you believe, folks, 888-957-9570. I watched it back last night right after our post-game show. I can't wait to watch it back again. The Buddy Hield game. The Buddy Hield game. We're discussing the 30 for 30. And we're discussing the last years of the dynasty. The OGs, and Steph is 37, and Draymond's 35. And he's walking out of the Toyota Center saying, surprise, surprise, we're still here. Look, I thought this was going to be the passing torch postseason. LeBron's out, right? James Harden, Kawhi's out. You got the young guns in OKC. Denver's trying to hold on for dear life with Russell Westbrook and the Joker. Aaron Gordon, by the way, playing very well for the Nuggets. That's going to be a hell of a series, I believe. And then on the other side of the Eastern Conference, you got the Pacers and the Cavs. You got the Celtics and the Knicks. And the OGs and the Golden State Warriors, with the help of Buddy Hield, are taking on a young T-Wolves team that is, they look for real. They look really, really good. But damn, like Buddy Hield, Chad, I can't wrap my mind around it. This guy went 0 for 4. And again, I can't read this enough. I didn't even know this was a stat. Buddy Hield became the first player in NBA playoff history to go scoreless in one game and then score at least 33 the next game in a single postseason, joining Tim Perry, who did it in 1992 mm-hmm. when he scored 31 after going scoreless, and our boy Eddie Johnson, who did it in 97 with the Houston Rockets.
What is this the equivalent of? Is this the equivalent of, like, James Toney, who drops a million passes but is always wide open? You know what I mean? Like, because right. We know he has it in him. Yeah. Buddy. Like, he has it in him, but he was not good for a long stretch of this series.
Man, I just don't. I did not have that on my bingo card. I keep saying it over and over and over again. Because I'm thinking, when the starting lineup got revealed, I don't know if you, maybe we're alone on the pregame show. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking in my head, like, man, Moody's put, they're 18-3 with Moody and Pods along with the big three. Just let Buddy be that bench player coming off the bench, spacing the floor. But he's been up and down in the series. I get it.
As good.
I get it. And that combination of Buddy, Pods, and the big three had the best net rating in this series, but it was a small sample size. But didn't you think when you saw Buddy in the starting lineup, you're like, oh.
Well, I guess, but I also understand, like, Steve Kerr loves him, and Butler loves him, and Curry loves him. And you know, they made a good point about movement and how the movement of Buddy Hield over the more stagnant Moses Moody was what they needed to be able to get guys going.
Yep.
It made a lot of sense I heard Steve Kerr explain that, and Anthony Slater kind of elaborated that when we had him late last week. The other part of this is I thought Moody moved better without the ball back cutting before this series.
Yep.
With the two bigs in there at times, there wasn't a lot of room underneath the hoop for him to get those layups and some of those easy buckets off action where he doesn't have the ball, where Jimmy has it, and Jimmy kind of would like kick it to him on the block on a cutter. So, no, I'm not surprised. I'm shocked he had that game. And not only did he have that game in the first half, he finished the game that way too.
22 in the first half, makes 6 threes in the first half. And the Warriors, despite Stephen Curry only scoring 3 first half points, had a 12-point lead. I felt really good at that point. Said, wow, they're up 12. Now the Rockets made their run in the third quarter. But again, as we just explained in the previous segment, Shasky, Steve Kerr using his timeouts like an expert. I mean, it was Greg Popovich-like.
Tight rotations.
We're going to shut down all the mini runs. We're going to make sure we maintain the lead and not let this crowd get into it. But Buddy Hield, look, should it be surprising? Maybe not, because Houston's running a lot of zone. And what beats a zone defense? Shooting. Here's what Buddy Hield had to say about Houston's zone defense.
Make sure I had to get the zone, they stopped playing zone. That was the deal. But we couldn't figure it out. And after that, I think tonight, we used Steph different. And we kept him on the ball. We was able to, like, adjust to a lot of things. And like I say, for you to be in zone, you got to make shots. And we made shots, and we took them out of it, and we forced them to guard our players like Steph and Jimmy. And we know that they're all world in that category. You know, we're just trying to make them go one-on-one against our best players.
He's so right. It got him out that zone. And then, you know, Stephen Curry, especially at the beginning of the fourth quarter where he scores five straight, got the isolation on Jabari Smith Jr., told everybody, get the hell out of the way. I'm going to take him on his hands. He goes in for the layup. Then the next possession, Amen Thompson, who did an excellent job on Stephen Curry. There's no doubt. I'm not taking away anything from him. And he made Steph work, and Steph showed the respect to Amen Thompson after the game, but he fell asleep just a little.
I know.
And Steph drained the three, and you could just feel it. It was over for the Rockets.
On that little like hezzy, he went left, Steph went right, and bang, he hit it.
Wow, this is crazy. This is insane right now, Shasky. I mean, this guy, I got to talk to him last night. We got Buddy Hield on the River Islands guest line right now. There's no way Buddy Hield's on the line right now. This is Buddy Buckets.
How you guys doing? Top of the morning.
Top of the morning, Buddy.
Game 7, man. Buddy. Wait. Buddy.
Man, you got this region. Look, man, I'm not going to front. We love you, Buddy, what you've done this season. I did not have you making 9 threes in a Game 7. It was your first ever Game 7. And what you told us last night, prepare for Game 7, you shut down all the social medias. You said no to tickets to all your family members, Buddy. That must have been hard to do.
Yeah. You know, they've reaped a lot of benefits of me over the years. So I just when the game is so important to you, and sometimes just having less distraction around you, and not saying they're a distraction, anybody's distraction, but just being locked in with yourself. You know, just felt like it was probably the best thing for me to do. And sometimes I just that's how I figure out things, just coping by myself, and just trusting on God and leaning on His favor and his blessings, and this spiritually and mentally just locked in and pray that everything works out.
You know, when you work so hard to get to where you guys are at and you get into a game 7, you could feel it in like game 5, game 6, game 7. Some guys, not that they shy away from the moment, but they're afraid to take certain shots. And that's never been a problem for you. And the shot that I want to go to is the one at the end of the first quarter. I felt like that one just... boom, it's cemented that the Warriors are here, that you're on a roll. That shot felt huge, but you got the rebound, and it was like you hesitated a little.
Yeah, it looked like the bitch had to tell you to hurry up and get off the court.
Did they yell at you to, like go, take that shot? Because it felt like you got the rebound at, like, maybe 5 seconds left, and then all of a sudden you kind of hesitated, and then you went and you took the shot. I mean, that was just, it was monster.
Yeah, and that play, I thought that we had like at least like 11 seconds left, but I was me and time was not on the same time. and it's like, you know, get the ball to Steph or Jimmy, you know, get the ball to our playmate, because, you know, I just got to run the floor. And after that, when I saw that, I look at the shot clock, and it was like 4 seconds, and the bench was like alerting me, you got to go. And I just, you know, the speed dribble, and I saw that I had a lean, and I shot it, and then I just know I had a chance.
Wow, Buddy Hield, live here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Latham, 33 points, a playoff career high, 9 threes. I don't know if you're aware, Buddy, but there's so much history you made yesterday. First of all, you became the first player in NBA playoff history to go scoreless in one game and then score at least 33 in the next game in a single postseason. And then not only that, you became the 7th player in NBA history to make at least 7 threes in a game 7. I mean, come on, Buddy, 6 threes at the half. And I'm thinking, were you guys feeling good, too? I know you were probably feeling good. Knowing that you guys were up 12, you had the 22 points, and Steph only had a bucket.
Yeah, you know, it just – I know that 30 was going his spiritual mode, and I was just waiting. And I look at the score, I say, when you get 3, and I was like, man, like, he's going to turn it up soon. You know, and he turned it up. He came alive in the fourth quarter. And he's special, man. He's the reason why the ship is sailing like this, you know, hit by him and Draymond's leadership and Jimmy, just being Jimmy, just rescuing the day and just sending everybody down. And guys like Looney were big last night. Mm-hmm. BP was big last night, mm-hmm. You know, and they played in the minutes, you know, and this guy just came in and to step up, you know, even though JK didn't score, but he just to see him on the court, you know, And JK is gonna help us some way down in this and this playoff. You know, he's gonna get his, as soon as he gains his spirit and his confidence back, he'll be fine.
You know, Buddy, you talked about the zone defense. that you guys couldn't solve in the first six games, basically, especially Friday night in game six. What helped you guys in that zone, against that zone defense yesterday in game seven? Was it just as simple as, hey, we got to make shots and get them out the zone? What was it about their zone defense that made it so difficult for you guys offensively?
We finally cracked the code, man. It was really not a zone defense. It was just like a, they start off a zone and where they just, wherever Steph go, we know that we watch film on it, and wherever Steph go, they just like follow him. And we know that they had so much attention on him. And like, I mean, two or three guys running to one of his gravity is so elite. Like there was two or three guys running to him, and we just trying to get the ball in the middle and get the ball into Jimmy's hands, and he's making the right play. And you look at it, watch the film, him and Draymond were just finding me, and I was able to make shots. And like when I was able to see a few go in, and when you shoot against the zone, you know, once you shoot them out the zone, you know, it's what else they can go to. And they killed us with that Steven Adams lineup. And I saw the plus minus, it was huge, and that was the reason why they were winning games.
All right, so I got so many questions for you, because this is the game of your career. The block shot. Since when were you a rim protector? Like, that was incredible.
Man, this is what I do, man.
Tell him, buddy. This is what you do,
buddy,
man.
You were really good on defense in this series.
Let me stop playing with y'all. You know what? I've always had great defensive instinct. I know people give me my crap about defense, but I've been around Draymond, Jimmy, and I know when it comes to winning, it matters a lot, and I've been solid, you know, I've always telling the guys that going against them, going, and you just gotta keep in front of you, make them shoot the mental shots, and they're the hardest shots, you know. When you give those good players angles and stuff, they tend to take advantage of it. But if you just make them put yourself in between the basket and make them shoot over you, it becomes mentally, and they start thinking, especially when a smaller guy is guarding you, it overthink shots of that. So I was able to time it and just make the right reads.
All right, so I got to ask about the celebration, but just wait on that. We're going to get to it in a second, because the riding the horse was incredible. After the game last night, you referenced a meeting Saturday led by Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, and you quote-unquote said everybody had chills, and you were locked in after that. Take us into that meeting, right? Like, what did those guys tell the team, and that you like weren't going to lose the game, or was there something more to this?
Just showing that how we were not connected in the last two games that we didn't play, and just showing that like what how much this game means to everybody, and just going out there and just laying on the line and don't get distracted by Draymond talking about him, how he was not locked in. And I'm sure he said in the media, you saw his comment in the media, and just going there and seizing the moment, you know, and just enjoying it and getting back our joy and being connected to each other. And we didn't feel that we were connected in those last two games, and that's why we took a fall, and that's why we had to play in game seven. So, you know, and the way they were commentating those, Draymond speaking, and Steph speaking, and Jimmy speaking, you know, just to give you chills, man, because those guys are being the fire, you know, and if you know how bad they want it, and you know how much winning means to them, because they've been to the mountaintop four times. And just hearing them speaking, just falling in the lead, and just, you know, just being in that room, you know, with a bunch of like Hall of Famers, and for them to call the team meetings, you know the seriousness of that of that meeting, and they know that getting us ready and just getting us ready in that moment would just prepare us for the game tomorrow, which is yesterday.
Buddy Hield here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Buddy Hield, playoff career high, 33 points in his first ever Game 7. I know you've been waiting a long time. You were talking about it yesterday. Everybody dreams of playing in a Game 7. But I also want to get to the dynamic you and Jimmy Butler have. You're so hilarious at the podium. It's Jimmy Butler, everybody. I'm your Alfred, buddy. Robin's back. And the dynamic you guys have, you know, the whole excluding Buddy from everything. When did that form? Did you know Jimmy Butler before he was traded here to the Golden State Warriors?
No, I know of him, but I was a big fan of Jimmy. I always loved Jimmy. My mom loves Jimmy. I just love the way he competes and where he carries himself, man. That was big. And I just know that when he came here, it'd be easy to get along with him. Nah, that's what I love about him.
You guys got
he's
the
easy to get along.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Say it again.
Nah, go ahead. Continue, buddy.
He's easy to get along. He's a great connector, man. He's a great team guy, and off the court, man, he's a great guy that you know that I hang with. He invites me to his house. He goes to dinners. He takes care of me, man.
All right, buddy. I got two quick questions for you. Number one, what was going on? You hit the three. Steph hits the crowd with the night-night, even though you hit the three, and you're like riding the horse or something. What was that?
We call that the bow, bow, bow.
The bow, bow, bow? What's the
what does that even mean? You got to explain, bro.
Okay, it's a long story. So me and Tyrese Halliburton, he came in one day, and then it's like a TikTok went viral, and he's saying it with the bow, bow, bow. And then we just thought every time he shoot a three, it was like a bow, bow, bow. Oh. And after that, there's a dance. It was like bum, bum, bum. And then after that, what were you just knocking your legs and like just from New Orleans? And then I just started adding that dance to that. And now we're just having fun with it. And it never left me. So every time I go out or I around people and or whatever, I just hit the bow, bow, bow dance. Before every pregame, we hit the bow, bow, bow dance. I try to get everybody in the middle. Even the coaches hit it today. Even because Steve hit it last night. Terry Stotts is really good at hitting the bow, bow, bow dance.
Oh my God.
I think everybody. I haven't let Draymond hit it. Draymond is still shy hitting the bow, bow dance now. But Steph has hit it. Jimmy hasn't hit it yet. But we can get Jimmy to hit it. But like everybody's hit it except Steph. No. Steph has hit it. Except Jimmy, Draymond, and I think JK. We got a lot of shy guys on the team, you know. We got to get them on the ACL, you know.
I love that. Hey, buddy, you know, like, you've been in the league a long time. Yep. You clearly love the game of basketball. It's changed your life. You referenced your own mother earlier. We know you got a family. To play this long in the league and not get enough playoff opportunities, how special is it for you to not only get to the playoffs, but to have, now you're immortalized. I mean, that's what you are. You're going to be immortalized as a Game 7 standout performer during the Steph Curry era in this Golden State Warrior dynastic run that they've been on. It's a special moment for you as a basketball player. Has it sunk in? Is it something that you and your family has already had a second to kind of like absorb, or is it just too soon?
You know, my brothers, we have a group chat. They always annoy me, my group chat. My brother, my mom has seven kids, and I have a brother that is older than me. He's the fourth child. I'm the fifth. And I got two sisters under me. But the fourth one, he's like crazy. He's always been my biggest supporter from day one. And he's been annoying me in the group chat about just staying focused and locked in and whatever. But, you know, that I feed off them, you know, and I feed off the grace of God, and I feed off them, and I just know that they have my back on everything I do, and you know, they know that I was capable. They've been waiting for all year for me to get to this moment. And finally, and came in Game 7. But you know, just God doesn't make any mistake, and His timing is never late. And just keep trusting my work, and just trusting my teammates, and trusting the coaching staff to put me in great position.
Well, that's an amazing answer, buddy. An amazing performance for you. It's May 4th, 2025. Warriors Rockets Game 7 will forever be known as the Buddy Hield game as you score a playoff career high 33 points, 9 of 11 from the 3-point line. Now, Draymond Green did take credit for one of those misses. Said he threw you a grenade, so you should have been 9 of 10. So maybe he could buy you dinner tonight, huh?
Yeah. You know, I'm not gonna tell him about that because we had a little altercation in the court earlier in the season when we threw him a grenade, but like I'm gonna let that slide, you know.
Well, buddy, you've been a lot of fun, man.
I'm
you
really
and the Jimmy
proud
Butler dynamic,
and
hey, good luck against Minnesota. This is gonna be a fascinating series between you guys and the Timberwolves, man. We can't wait to watch Game 1 tomorrow night in Minnesota, buddy. Take care, man.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for stopping by today.
Hey. I like us in the series.
Let's go, buddy.
Don't go bear.
Oh, the bop, bop, bop. I want the bop, bop, bop. You're going to do the bop, bop,
he
bop.
He said Kerr did it. Terry Stotts did
Terry
it.
Terry Stotts did it very good.
You know, like, but honestly.
You said Draymond Green hasn't done it yet because we think about Draymond Green and the night-night. Moses Moody said it was more like the nightmare. It's very aggressive.
Yes. You know, like, we say things like he has the most three-pointers or second most three-pointers made in the last however many years. And, you know, you realize, like, this guy spent a decade in the league and has played
9 years.
A zillion games and has not had the opportunity to play in these playoffs. And you know, in certain professions, sometimes just those opportunities don't present themselves. And I think about all these guys in any sport when they get a chance to live out their dream and have a moment. And I do think it takes time to sink in for you and your family. Because, like, I always think about, like, how many, like, I coach, and that's youth level, but, like, it's the parents, it's the brothers, it's the sisters, it's the uncles, it's the aunts, it's the grandparents, maybe it's their guardians or whoever is involved in their life that is shuttling them from practice to game to this. It's not just the individual. How many trainers has Buddy worked with forever?
Right.
And so for him to have that game and that moment, he's worked his entire life for, it's almost impossible for it to sink in 12 hours later, like, as one of your great accomplishments. It really is remarkable.
Well, I think about it like this. Just listening to Buddy. Think about all the down years in Sacramento.
That's what I'm saying.
He gets traded to Indiana. They're playing well offensively. Indiana has one of the better offenses in the league, and he gets traded to Philadelphia. And he doesn't really get an opportunity to play in that series against the Knicks. He had the one quarter where he went crazy, but that was about it. And that was his first ever playoff series, which is crazy. And so for him, I think about Klay Thompson in a sense. By the end of Klay Thompson, we get it. It was the culture, there was a cloud, there was attitude issue. Not just with Klay, but just the whole team. And I'm not putting that on Klay.
Agreed.
But Buddy came in at the beginning of the year, and it was a breath of fresh air for Buddy to come into the situation saying, I haven't had the opportunity to hang a banner. I haven't had an opportunity to play with a lot of Hall of Famers. This culture, the read-and-react system, where we think about Buddy coming from Oklahoma, he let it fly. Read-and-react, catch and shoot, boom. I could do that with the best of them. But he's been lost in the sauce. Being in the NBA abyss, right? He's been in the desert just looking for a drink of water, right? And he comes here to the Warriors, and it's been inconsistent. There's been some ups. There's been some downs. He's started. He's come off the bench. He's seen 30 minutes. He's seen 12 minutes. And the fact that game seven, he doesn't take it for granted. He locks in, tells everybody, hey, I've done a lot for you guys. I'm locking in. No social media, no nothing. And you just see how appreciative he is of the opportunity to play at this level. So he's having a lot of fun. And that's the thing I've heard about Buddy all throughout the season, Shasky. Buddy never changes. Buddy never changes. He's a vibe. Even watching the pregame warm-up sometimes, and he warms up early, Shasky, very early, before the fans get in, before all the media gets in. I'm watching him one day, and he had smoked a layup. I was like, Buddy, man, you smoked a layup. He goes, oh, man, don't start that today. Don't start that one. And he's always got a smile on his face.
Well, there are certain guys in sports that, like, and George Kittle is such an excellent player that I think we forget he's a vibes guy.
Yep.
Is he not?
He is.
For the Niners. Like, he sets the tone and he sets the vibe. Pablo Sandoval forever was a Giants vibes guy, right? Was he not? So, you know, Buddy was, has always been, at least the guys you could tell and the coach love him. Go back to the first 2 weeks of the season. And I had made this comment to you, and you kind of like, hey, it's early. And look, you ended up being right about like the whole season. But I told you, like, I felt Buddy was made to be a Warrior at some point. That doesn't mean he was going to have some prolific season.
Right.
But in terms of style of play and playing in this offense, playing alongside that player, playing with Draymond Green for this coach.
This culture rehabilitates people. It does.
He's on a $9 million a year deal for another 2 years.
Yep.
And,
look, and they love him.
Go around the league. For $9 million, could do a lot worse.
For that shooting?
Yes.
And you know what you're going to get from him. And he's trying on defense. So what a surprise on the morning roast this morning. I did not expect that whatsoever. Buddy Buckets, after the game seven of his life, that, again, we're going to talk about the beginning of the dynasty, the game six Klay in OKC, Steph Curry dribbling the ball down the sideline in game five of that series saying, we ain't going home. The game seven loss to Cleveland, Kevin Durant ears. We're going to talk about Klay, Steph in game four, Boston on the parquet floor, Andrew Wiggins and Looney in game six against Memphis.
Klay's free throws.
Iguodala. Then all of a sudden, it's going to be this footnote. Oh, yeah, remember game seven in the first round of 2025? The Buddy Hield game. All you got to say is the Buddy Hield game, and people are right away going to say, yeah, 33 points, I made threes. It's incredible. Incredible that we're talking to Buddy Hield after game seven. I'm blown away, man. What is the playoffs, man? They're so good.
I'm really happy for him.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I really am. He seemed like the man. It's just some people deserve the moment. He deserves his moment. I'm really happy.
No
for
doubt.
Him.
Let's get to Schlepp Rock in South Dakota.
What's up,
we're gonna get to Samita. We're gonna get to everybody out there. Schlepp Rock, what's happening out in South Dakota?
Hey,
Yeah, my son graduated from USF South Dakota this weekend, so I'm out here looking at all of this flat lands and all that. But, yeah, I watched the game at this place called Crawford's and then got back to the hotel and watched the last 10 minutes of that fourth quarter. But it kind of reminisces me of Sleepy Floyd back in 87, I believe, when Sleepy went out of his mind and scored. What was it?
29 61? Points in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
Yeah,
Superman. So Sleepy Floyd is Superman.
Exactly. So I'm not taking away from Buddy Hield, but that's what it kind of reminded me of. It ain't good for Buddy. He just seems like a nice, genuine guy and down to earth. So yeah. But here's what can't happen. This is what can't happen. The bitch can't go scoreless like they did yesterday. Did they only score 3 points? That cannot continue to happen, or we're digging the grave for these Warriors. You cannot have your bench scoring 3 points in the playoffs. That's got to stop.
Slip Rock, you know? But your boy Looney, all he does is clean up the glass. Yep. Come on, your boy Looney, Windex.
Yep, Looney was in there. Looney did what Looney had to do, but going forward, we cannot be that anemic from the bench. I love you guys. Good hearing you, Bonte, and we'll keep in touch, man.
Absolutely. You want to get to your boy real quick?
We got
the heavy hitters on the line.
Who's that?
There's Bobby in Los Altos. There's Big Smooth in Oakland. There's Film on Mike.
Oh, my God.
There's Ritucci.
Rat-a-tattle.
And then there's BPA.
Oh, my God. That's Murderer's Row. That's the 27 Yankees.
You know what? I don't even know. There's so many of them. I don't know.
Verducci's been on the longest.
So. All right, let's go to Verducci. EDH. Let's go to Verducci. Verducci. Going once. Going twice. Filmo Mike. Get Filmo Mike in. Verducci, call back. Filmo Mike. Do we got the calls potted up? What's going on here?
Young Steven Rizzotto.
What's going on with the calls? Lubman, help him out. Help him out, Lubman. Get Film on hold. What's happening here with the calls? What's going on? What's going on here? We got a lot going on. Everybody's rattled after Buddy. You see, he getting up. We got Buddy Hill. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I knew something was going on.
But I didn't know what. I thought he was calling Carter.
Oh.
Well, I thought he was because you said Carter was going to call
but
in.
Carter, I mean, Buddy Hield, yeah. Carter is a big drop off.
Sasky's still about to see, but I want to know about the bop, bop, bop. Now I'm interested in the bop, bop, bop. You want to do the bop, bop, bop?
I'm going to lay off the bop, bop, bop because, you know, my dancing isn't the best part of my game. So.
Oh, man, yeah, I can't dance either. Fall lines, let's try to get Filmo Mike back. We're Big Smooth. We'll start with the fall lines, man. Let's go. Big Smooth in Oakland. There we go. I can hear something.
Big hey!
There we go. Oh, man, you saved the show, Big Smooth.
Hey, listen, give me some of that bop, bop, bop as I'm driving down the highway with a Kool-Aid smile, with a big Kool-Aid smile, man. Listen,
bow,
the Buddy
bow.
Freaking Hill. The
I
Buddy freaking
it.
Hill game. The Buddy Hill game. Oh. I'd rather reminisce over that than the Lonnie Walker to fifth or sixth game, the Lakers finished home. I always detested saying, doggone it, Lonnie Walker to fifth or sixth. But listen, man, this was a wonderful win. This was a very stressful win for me, guys. I was asking, you know, instead of a heat check, I was like, man, did Pods just do a cold check? It was driving me crazy. I'm like, how many times is Pods going to be checking these up. No, listen, Pods, thank you, man, because it all came together. Steph's patience is unreal, man, because it's looking like it's like, Steph, man, okay, you can't keep referring. Let's go, baby, let's go. Mm-hmm. But all the while, man, he was lurking, and when he picks his spots, dude, it is unreal how patient he can be. And this is the thing, man, we won't see another series that physical. Thank you, Houston, and hats off to Houston, man. Those young guys, they played a brand of basketball that we hadn't seen Steph have to undertake. Steph went through that and survived it, guys.
Hey,
he
smooth.
Went through that.
Smooth.
People draped all over him. Yeah.
You've watched a lot of sports in your day. I can just tell. You have good perspective.
Yep.
Whether it's Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. Big red machine, yes, sir.
Whether it's Patrick Mahomes, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Pedro Martinez, you know, pick the player, pick the sport. The greats summon it when their team needs it the most, and we almost overlook it. He was awesome in the second half, and we're barely talking about it.
Listen, I was about to be. I told my group chat. I said, I'm about to get mad like Cannon if Steph don't start pulling. If Steph don't start playing, man, I'm about to be pouting over here like Cannon. But then, man, something happens. Listen, I saw one play where he splits the double, and as soon as he split that double, the left side was open immediately. Mm. And I'm like, Steph is calculating, man. And listen, it took us 7 games to crack that code. It took us 7 games because they were blitzing him, mm-hmm. man. Did you see? Okay, here's. I don't know if you guys said this, but when Van Fleet was on him, I'm like, dude, take him.
Yeah,
God, amen. Go take him.
Yep.
Why are you referring? Why you pass the ball out when it's just one-on-one? Now, that I don't know. I don't know why he was passing it out when it's just little Van Fleet. Man, take this dude. In fact, go down there and post him. But Draymond played a fantastic game.
He did.
Buddy Hield. I don't even know what to say about Buddy Hield, man.
Nobody does.
And miss me with the call in something, but I saw it. You didn't see it. Nobody saw it.
Nobody saw it. By the way, thanks for the call, Big Smooth. Thanks for the call. Real quick, Fezzy at halftime. Nobody thought that. Fez and Zeeley, my boy Fezzy Fell said it at halftime. As Steph had 3 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists at the half, and the Warriors were up 12.
I thought he had a good floor game.
Yeah, he was. But Fezzy goes, I'm going to need Steph Curry. Hey, look, I thank you for the community service. Now it's time to go get yours.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, seriously, it's time for you. I'm enough with the community service right now. I love your 5 assists, but go out there and score. He scores 19 and 22 in the second half. Ends up with a double-double. His 23rd career playoff double-double. He was 3 assists shy of a triple-double. And all of a sudden, you look at his Game 7 resume. Remember there was a point in time, not this, well, some people in this market said it, that they were like, oh, he's not clutch. Oh, he doesn't show up. Oh, Steph, he's not
put
clutch.
Put some names on it.
My name is Bennett. I'm not in it. But he goes 7-9 in the second half, 3-4 for the three-point line, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, makes all the right moves, and plays in 22 minutes and 56 seconds of that second half. So that means he was just on the bench for 1 minute and 4 seconds.
My favorite pass of the night was when he kicked it to Draymond, end of the game, and Draymond got the wide-open layup. Oh, God, I just loved everything about this game.
Dude, that was unbelievable.
They went ISO a couple times, yep. And it was like, all right, it's Steph's time. Right,
let's get real quick, Bobby in Los Altos.
What's up, Bobby?
Real quick. Why did it take 7 games, Bobby? That's what the captain says. Why did it take 7 games? Well, let me ask you, Bobby, why did it take 7 games, Bobby?
I don't know why, man, because, look, for all of you that have a partner, first of all, great to hear your voice. For those of you that have a partner that go out of town for a couple of days and they give you kind of a list of to-dos, right? For me, of course, I'm scrambling around the night before trying to make sure I fix that closet door and clean the dishes or do whatever I'm supposed to do. But for the Warriors, they could have played this game this way, Game 5. Why do the Warriors have to wait and not, you know, and just make us crazy and have them extend their playing time for another, 96 minutes in order to get this done? That's the part I don't understand. Of course, I'm ecstatic and happy that they won, but I just don't understand. Even the Warriors, do they really need to be pressed against the wall
Bobby,
get this done?
Are you getting ready for Steiny at 10 o'clock?
Dude, I'm happy, man. They don't owe me anything, but I'm just saying. Come on, bro.
Hey, Bobby,
we
Bobby.
Need to go through this
Bobby,
game.
Bobby, don't worry. Deputy Mark Willard made a citizen's arrest on Dylan Brooks immediately after the game. So all is good. We're good.
Does Mark believe that it was the quickest series ever in NBA history?
Hey, can I say one thing? Buddy Hield, is he what? I don't think Raymond Ritter set that up, right? So was he listening to what, the Odyssey app at some hotel in Minnesota?
I don't even know.
He knew the King was in town.
I'm going to text Raymond and say thank you, but I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea who set that up.
That was a Matt Nahegan special right there.
Was that a Nahegan special? Wow, he's doing some producing these days, huh? Wow, things have changed around here at 95.7 The Game. Hey, Bobby, so good to hear your voice. We got to run, and we got to get down to Houston. We'll get the producer on the other side, but we got to get down to H-Town. To a guy who cut his honeymoon short.
What?
The guy was living underwater in Jamaica. You want to talk about long money? That water looks so good. I wanted to drink it through the Instagram photos. Looked so crystal clear and blue. Oh, my gosh.
This guy has had hundreds since they had. Small faces. You're supposed to say small faces.
Sorry.
Come on. We're going back.
I heard a little.
He got that old money.
He got that old. Oh, he got old buddy.
Old money.
Old, long, big money.
Yeah. We're talking like Presidio money.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Can I borrow a dollar? Damn, must be nice.
His money's so old, it goes back to when Alcatraz was a real prison.
Carter.
A lot of prisons.
Carter.
They might be open.
Oh, don't do that. Carter, don't do that. We're having such a great show. Carter, what's happening?
Alcatraz is new money now, isn't it?
Well, technically.
Well, you got new money, old money, long money, big money, a lot of money.
Nah. Honestly, man, that atmosphere last night was unreal in Houston, honestly. And the Dubs, best part about what they did last night, they were just shutting off the faucet of the crowd in Houston. They were pumping so much fake noise into that building last night. Oh, my God. I've never been in a building where they have pumped as much fake noise as they did last night in there. Like, they had the speakers turned up, like, way louder than any arena I'd ever been in, first of all. Almost hurt my ears, frankly. And I don't get that way at arenas or anything, but it was
when you're 6'8", your head is usually right near wherever the speakers are.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chasky. But on top of that, like, it just felt like every time the crowd started to go crazy, Jimmy would hit a bucket. Draymond would go to the rack, get a layup. And Steve Kerr was just amazing with the timeouts, man.
Yeah, I thought he killed the momentum.
100%. But it was unbelievable game seven. It was rocking in there, completely rocking.
How's your wife doing?
Yeah, I was going to say, did you call your lawyer for this divorce proceedings that's happening?
How did you wiggle out of Jamaica, by the way? Where were you at in Jamaica?
Audience that's just tuned in. Carter works here at the station.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a producer.
Okay, and he comes from old money. All right, and that's
his mom
a joke.
His mom wants to be at the Olympic Club. My son knows more sports than you. I was like, oh, okay.
And then he went to Jamaica for his honeymoon. And then out of nowhere, I get a phone call from Carter. No, he's not in Jamaica anymore, even though he just posted an Instagram photo in Jamaica.
Yesterday.
He's at the Toyota Center covering the game for 95.7 The Game. And boy, did I love the way you utilized that.
Oh, you
I don't know
out
how you got a credential.
Where were you at in Jamaica? And how did you wiggle out of Jamaica?
Whose idea?
Did you pay the wife? Did you buy a new Chanel purse? You got to give me the details.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a finagling. It definitely took a lot of convincing. I don't know if she's too pleased right now, but we're here, so we made it. Montego Bay. There was one flight out at 2:40 p.m. to Houston. I got in at about 6:45 and just sprinted off the plane, sprinted through customs. Honestly cut the line at customs to get through because I wasn't going to make it. And I got to the arena, and then I had to cut another line, basically, to ask where I got my media pass. And I was in there by 7:25.
Were you wearing Warrior gear?
Hold on. Did the wife stay in Jamaica?
Yeah.
No, so I had to put her up in a nice hotel to kind of make up for it.
She took the private PJ.
We were
going to
go together, but the tickets were exceeding what I was willing to spend, what she was willing to spend. So I called Nahegan, and Nahegan said, "Yeah, dude, please go." And I said, "Honey, I don't think you're going to make it to this one, sadly."
Oh my God. He left her on the tarmac.
You're going to be on the couch.
Yeah, dude.
Divorce papers already in.
Hey, Carter.
Biggest mistake of her life.
Do you have an estate planner? Do you have a lawyer that can help you out after this one?
No. We talked about it. She's been great. She's been loving about it. And she's just says, "I'm happy you went, honey.
Signed a prenup.
Happy I am, I went."
Play the Justin Bieber.
It's a month on the couch.
You signed a prenup, buddy.
Hey, no, you know what? I'm proud of you, dude. Like, this shows, because I told my wife, I'm dedicated to this sports thing.
Yeah, no, you're about it. Yeah.
So you're about that life, and your wife now knows where you stand.
I've got the ultimate respect for you.
Bonta's lying. Anna would have let him do this. 100%.
No, she wouldn't have. No, she wouldn't have. She'd be like, you could go. And then I would have heard the tone and been like, "Oh, I don't know if I could make this."
He was so full of it. They were sick with COVID. Carter, they were sick with COVID. He flew to Dallas.
Left her
sick in Dallas. Went to Dallas, came back, and then got COVID.
Probably had COVID and just flew out there. I did try to take it to a Cuban baseball game when we were in Cuba.
It wasn't COVID-19. It was Jimmy G10.
Yeah, I would do that.
Sick with Jimmy G10.
No, but in all seriousness, fellas, I got to say, I think that something's not being said even enough
what?
Today.
What?
I think that was the best game I've ever seen Draymond Green play. He was literally everywhere. He was unfreaking believable. I'm serious. Watching him in the arena, he had his hand and he was jumping for every single rebound. He was an absolute dog in that game. I'm telling you, leader, everything. He was a superstar in that game, and my love for that man went through the roof watching that basketball game last night.
Did you trade him away Friday night, though? That's the key.
Would I have traded him away Friday night? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, of course not. But I wasn't pleased. Let's put it that way. Friday night.
Well, you better get back to your wife because she's probably not pleased right now. But I do respect the hustle.
I'm proud of you.
Hey, Carter, You do what real gamers do. You find a way out of Jamaica to get to Game 7 in Houston. It's a gangster move, man. I'm actually really jealous that you pulled that off.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.
All right,
Carter. Shout out to Sammy and Risotto in the back. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, let's go.
They haven't had to work a day. They haven't had to work a second. Just pick up the phone.
I mean, Loveman's,
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host.
Investigators Later.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
He ate that double stack earlier, and
he went missing for about 20 minutes. You know what I mean? You're listening. Oh, I already missed the legal. Who cares? I blew the legal off. Welcome back, Bonte. More coming up. We're going to all your calls. 888-957-9570.
Carter.
Line them up. What a show here. More coming up, brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport.